It's great to see all of you here this morning. I am super excited for this morning's gathering. It's going to be a little bit different than our normal gathering because today we're going to get to testify to an amazing mission trip that we got back from. 24 of us got back from Kunamaya about midnight last Sunday night. And our primary, we got together 4 or 5 times to kind of prepare for this trip. And one of our primary prayers before we left and while we were there is that we would all get to experience God's power, His presence, and His peace in a new and a fresh way. And man, this morning we're going to testify that He answered those prayers in ways we couldn't even imagine. I think a great verse to start our time together this morning is Isaiah 12:4. This is what it says. It says, "Give praise to the Lord. Proclaim His name. Make known among the nations what He has done." Here's the question. What has He done? What has the Lord done? He's done a lot of things, a lot of amazing things. On our mission trip, our daily devos, we focused on some basic truths that we must know and we must understand and we must believe if we truly want to love Jesus with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind. So what's a basic truth about what He has done? Romans 6:23 says this, "For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Man, that is the best news that any of us could ever hear. That is what He has done. And we need to remember that, and we need to celebrate this gift of eternal life. The Bible teaches that if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that Jesus is Lord, if we ask Him to forgive our sins and we follow Him, man, we go from death to life, from eternal torment to paradise. Man, that's what He has done. So, let's give praise to the Lord. Let's stand right now, and we're going to worship to get this awesome God, the King of Kings, the Lord of all lords. All right, you can be seated. In just a couple minutes here, we're going to read together a couple really, really important teachings from Jesus. And in one of them, Jesus tells us we are to love our neighbors as much as we love ourselves. That's from Jesus. And Jesus demonstrated and taught that we are to love and to serve other people sacrificially, humbly, love and serve other people well. Loving and serving other people well is really a place where we can experience God in unique and powerful and special ways. And we're going to share about that this morning. So we're going to give you a chance right now to love and serve your neighbor well. And it's simply by greeting one another. We do something called passing the peace here. So we're going to stand right now and you're going to greet one another. And just greet one another by saying, "May the peace of God be with you." So let's stand and greet one another. So we often make being a follower of Jesus Christ way too complicated. It's not easy, but it's actually pretty simple. On this mission trip in our daily devotional times, we focused on basic truths that we need to know and understand and believe. And we discussed that if you don't clearly understand and believe these basic truths, it's going to be very difficult, nearly impossible, to be a dedicated follower of Jesus Christ. Truth number one that we talked about. Do you truly believe that God is bigger and more powerful than you can comprehend? Have you made God too small in your life? We discussed how creation is telling us how incredible God is. Do you marvel at the Creator and what He has created? Sleight of kids are awesome. When it rains and we're on a trip, most kids go inside. Salida, we were there. It was hot. It was humid. And the rain came down. And they went and played. And we stopped and we talked about, man, God has got so much he needs to keep alive through water. And how does he do that? Oh, he just drops it from the sky. Shouldn't we be amazed by that? Shouldn't we marvel at a creator that supplies water to his creation? Oh, I'm just going to drop it from the sky. Do we marvel at the creator? We also discussed how Jesus is the visible image of an invisible God. Jesus' power and wisdom should astound us. The miracles that he did, the teaching that has been captured in Scripture is beyond what any man could come up with. We must, truth number one, we must believe and know that God is bigger and more powerful and more wise than we can comprehend. Truth number two, sin is real. The consequences of sin is real. The truth is we all have a death sentence. The wages of sin is death, meaning eternal separation from God, living in torment. Do you believe and understand that sin is for real? Do you believe and understand the consequences of sin? That was the second truth we talked about. Truth number three, God is perfectly just. And a price must be paid for every sin committed, or God is not perfect. And God is perfectly just. Truth number four, God is also the great justifier. This is amazing news. Through Jesus Christ, through God's grace, God provides a way for all of our sins to be forgiven. I don't know why I'm so emotional today. I do know. God provides a way for all of our sins to be forgiven. Through Christ's death on the cross, we are forgiven and we are granted eternal life if we choose to follow him. This is a gift we must truly understand. Again, moving from death to life, from torment to eternal paradise. Do we get it? Do we remember it? Do we understand it? Truth number five, our purpose is pretty straightforward and simple in life. We complicate it a lot, but we talked about how it is pretty straightforward, and there's three things that we need to do what our purpose is. Our first purpose is to know God and to know his plan. Our second purpose is to love the Lord your God greater than anything else in this world. Our third purpose is to love others humbly and sacrificially. If we do these three things well, Jesus actually talks about, and we're going to read a scripture of a blessed life. I'd love to share with you this morning just quickly two critical teachings from Jesus that we study together on this mission trip. The first is in Matthew chapter 22, verses 34 through 40. And there's going to be some of the words, all the words are going to be on the screen up here, but some of them are in bold. And we're going to read those together as a church family because they are so important. But let me start and I'll tell you when we're going to read together. Hear the word of God. When the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had silenced the Sadducees, they came together and one of them, an expert in the law, asked a question to Jesus to test him. So just to stop, the motivation for this question is not good. He's trying to test Jesus, right? But this question is probably one of the most profound questions that has ever been asked if you want to be a follower of Jesus Christ. The question is, teacher, which command in the law is the greatest? Wouldn't you love to ask God that question? And he asked it, and he's going to give the answer. And Jesus said to them, we're going to read it out loud right now. Jesus said to him, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. That was average. We're going to read it louder right now together. So let's read together. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind. And then what does Jesus say? He says, this is the greatest and most important command. Do you want to know your purpose in life as a follower of Jesus Christ? Jesus answered your question. This is the most important command. The second is like it, he says. Let's read this together. Love your neighbor as yourself. We're going to read it again just because I can ask you to do that. So let's do this. Love your neighbor as yourself. And then look at these amazing words that Jesus says. All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. This is the word of God. We need to understand that this teaching from Jesus is so important. Keep it simple. Jesus tells us directly our top two priorities. Love God above all else and love Him completely. Love others humbly, sacrificially, serve them. And then look at that last sentence. All of the law and the prophets depend on these two commands. Everything else in this Bible relies upon us being able to do these two things. On the mission trip, we asked the question, why is it so difficult to love God and others in this way that Jesus is teaching us? Why is it so difficult? The truth is, some people claim to be a follower of Jesus Christ, but if you look at their life, there's no evidence that they love God more than everything else. There's no evidence that they actually want to love and serve other people well. And a good question is why? Why is it so hard? Well, I think it comes back again to that first basic call or purpose of our life, and that is knowing God and knowing His plan. If you don't know God and know His plan, it's really hard to love Him. Again, Romans 6:23, the basic. For the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you don't believe that, it's going to be really hard to love Jesus with all of your heart, with all of your soul, with all of your strength. God's grace allows us to move from death to life. And that is the truth. I want to close with one other quick teaching from Jesus that we studied together on this trip. And again, this is where He promises us a blessed life if we do what He has demonstrated for us to do. It's John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17. The setting for this verse is it's the Last Supper. So Jesus is with His disciples. He's teaching a lot of really important things at this meal together. But in just hours, He's going to be arrested and He's going to be crucified pretty quickly after this. So John chapter 13, verses 1 through 17, hear the word of God again. Before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that His hour had come to depart from this world to the Father. Having loved His own who were in the world, He loved them to the end. Now it was time for supper. The devil had already put into the heart of Judas, Simon Iscariot's son, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had given everything into His hands, that He had come from God and that He was going back to God. So He got up from supper, laid aside His outer clothing, took a towel and tied it around Himself. Next, He poured water into a basin and He began to wash His disciples' feet and to dry them with a towel that was tied around Him. Just to stop for just a second, in Jesus' day, your feet were dirty a lot because you're wearing sandals all the time. So when you'd come into a house, it would be normal for someone to wash your feet. But it would be the lowest level servant that would do that washing. So when the disciples see Jesus starting to wash their feet, they're kind of alarmed by this. Verse 6, He came to Simon Peter, who asked Him, "Lord, are You going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I'm doing you don't realize now, but afterward, you will understand." And then Peter says, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus replied, "If I don't wash you, you have no part with me." Simon Peter then said to Him, "Lord, not only my feet, but also wash my hands and my head then." And then Jesus says, "One who has bathed doesn't need to wash anything except his feet, but he is completely clean. You are clean, but not all of you are clean," for He knew someone was going to betray Him. This is why He said, "Not all of you are clean." When Jesus had washed their feet and put on his outer clothing, he reclined again and said to them, "Do you know what I have done for you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are speaking rightly, since that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example, and you should do just as I have done for you." To be clear, the example that Jesus has given to us is that we are to love and to serve other people in a humble manner, to greatly value other people, to love them. Jesus continues in verse 16, "Truly I tell you, a servant is not greater than his master, and a messenger is not greater than the one who sent him." Now listen to the promise in verse 17. "Listen, if you know these things, you are blessed if you do them." If you do them. You guys, this was an amazing mission trip. And why? Why was it amazing? Because we stuck to the basics. Three things. We grew to know God and His plan. We grew in knowing God and His plan. Secondly, we love the Lord our God well, through worship, through a lot of different things, through studying His Word. And three, we loved and we sacrificially served other people well. And guess what happened? God kept His promise. And we were blessed beyond what we can imagine. I'm so excited. We're going to have a couple of our students come up. Why don't you guys come up here right now? And they're going to share. And man, I'm so proud of our entire team that went. But yeah, these guys had the courage to want to share some things this morning. So yeah, they're going to share.
Check, check. Good morning. My name is June Hamilton. Returning to Kunamaya taught me just as much as the first time I was there last year. One of the things that truly stuck with me was one of our purposes in life. It's to serve people and serve God with all your heart. Mark 10:45 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." A beautiful thing I saw was people using their God-given talent to serve. Hosa, one of our friends, serves by dedicating his life to playing worship music for the school and church. This is similar to the boys and girls using their strength to build the house, while others using their Jesus light, I call it, to bring people into the kingdom of God. Everyone has something unlike anyone else, and if we learn to use this passion to serve, we'll be fulfilled. 1 Peter 4:10 says, "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." There was one night that we specifically washed each other's feet. This was so powerful. I've never felt the Holy Spirit more than that night, hearing the whispered prayers and emotions radiating God's love in the room. We know it's easy to serve when you're on a mission trip because that's why you're there. The challenge is coming back to daily life and learning how to keep the same servant's heart while you're faced with your daily routine. This being said, I think we should all try to see our life as a mission because our purpose is to love and serve each other. Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Katie Hughes. I'm going to share with you about our last day in Kunamaya. We had the privilege of being part of Kingdom Kids. Kingdom Kids is YWAM's biggest outreach program in this community that allows them to get to know families, their struggles, and their stories through their kids. Half of our team went to finish up the work on the house, while half of us stayed at Kingdom Kids to teach a lesson on God's consistency. Nora and I talked to the 4 through 7-year-olds about how God is consistent in His love, word, and purpose for our lives, and how we need to be consistent with Him too. Hopefully, the 4-year-olds got something from the talk, but I believe that God was really trying to talk to me. My prayer leading up to this trip and during the week was that I would see God and feel His presence. I realized how much I believed that God is actually inconsistent because I don't see Him in my day-to-day life. When we said our goodbyes to the family we built the house for, the abuela told us, "Vasa casa y abraza a las que más amas," or "Go home and embrace the ones you love most." I got emotional wondering how I hadn't seen it before. God's hand is all over my life. He is always moving and working. Jeremiah 23:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." My lack of searching for God wasn't His absence, because He is consistently there. Through our talk to the kids, I was able to look back on our week and see God everywhere. He's in the little ones at the school, their joy, their giggles and smiles, their love for strangers like us, and their hugs and kisses. His creation displays his beauty in the breathtaking color of the sea, the flowers that grow on the broken homes in the community, the warmth of sunshine, and the neon color of the fish we saw snorkeling, and getting to come home to a stunning sunset on our Colorado mountains. God's showing himself to us in people, missionaries who have dedicated their lives to loving the community, working in schools, churches, homes, youth groups, and welcoming mission groups with the joy and love of Jesus. Finally, in worship, singing praise songs in a different language and feeling the Holy Spirit fill the room. God answered my prayer far beyond what I could have imagined. It's hard to feel God's presence, especially during hardship, even when you look. But I'm going to encourage us all to look for a yay God in our day-to-day lives, because he's consistently there and he is consistently good.
Am I on here? Yeah. So one of the nights we got to do youth group with a local church there, and there's about 40 students from the community there. And we learned about, I think a day in advance, that we were actually in charge of youth group that night. So we put a lot of things together, but the night before, we asked the team, like, hey, would anyone like to give their testimony at youth group? And I was doubtful, because but Eileen actually that night came up to me a little bit. And if you guys know Eileen, she's awesome, but she's kind of more of an introvert than an extrovert. But she said she felt the Lord talk to her, that she was supposed to give her testimony. And I was like, what? Wow, amazing. So Eileen gave her testimony, and she's going to share her testimony this morning. The hard part is there's no interpreter, so you're going to have to go straight through it this time. But I'm just super, this is the testimony she shared in that youth group. So thanks.
All right. Several years ago when I was a lot younger, I was really scared of other people. I really made new friends, and I often shied away from talking to people. I didn't realize it in that moment, but I was also shying away from God at the same time. I thought that I could do everything on my own, and I felt like I knew myself better than God knew me. Jeremiah 29:13 says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." It wasn't until I participated in several mission trips, both in and out of my country, that I realized the truth within these words. I learned the hard way that nothing can be done without God, no matter how stubborn or angry you are. God placed people in my life who helped me, who helped guide me out of my shell and out to places like Cancun, Maya, where I no longer hide from others and God, but where I can dedicate myself to serving people I never would have met without God.
Hello, everybody. My name is John Fast. I just kind of want to talk about how I saw God on the trip. One way, really, was like the people we got to work with. So our group was really awesome. Really got to see the love and just light of Jesus shine through our own group, as well as the people on staff in Cancun and Kona Maya, and even the people we served. Like the family we served were so happy just all the time. Like they were making us food, and it was like the best freaking food ever. After working on their house, and they would make us like homemade empanadas. Oh my goodness, so good. But yeah, like it was so cool. Just the people we got to work with. It was awesome. And I don't know if you saw on the slideshow, there was an older gentleman named Augusto who was kind of the head construction guy. He was the guy in the fedora and like the white tank top. I got to work with him a lot, and we didn't really talk because there was a big language barrier, not a lot of English from him, not a lot of Spanish from me, but when I was pouring concrete, you know, all I could understand from him was more, poquito, and bien. So, you know, we got through the house working with those words, but it was cool. Like, even though we didn't talk, it was like we still made a connection, and it was awesome just getting to work with him. He gave glory to God. He was like 70 years old working on a concrete house, and he was doing probably the majority of the work, more than me. But anyways, and then a big highlight for me was the baptism. You saw in the slideshow the baptism of Carlos and Anna. Man, it was so cool. Like, they're the happiest people, especially Carlos. Like, he was such a happy dude. But it was really special getting to see them just, like, see not our work, but God's work, just go through them and just fill their hearts. And like the fact they wanted to be baptized and got to have Jin baptize them was really, really something special to get to watch. But so John 15:4-5 says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." So we kind of got to bear the fruit of Jesus a little bit. We got to like spread his love, like not, you know, saving people, but, you know, he's got to like share his light and spread his love to people who maybe haven't had that before. And we got to abide in him too. Like the Devos, we did Devos morning, lunch, and night, like throughout the day. It was so cool. We were just working through God, learning about him, getting to spread his light. And it was just, it was really awesome. I saw God throughout the whole trip, but it was such a blessing to get to go on it. So thank you.
Hi, guys. My name is Nora Cleaver. I'm going to share with you a letter that Anna shared with us. Anna is the mom that we built the house for. At the end of the trip, when we finished building the house for her, she and like the whole family wrote us letters, and we were all like bawling our eyes out as she shared this with us. I'm just going to read it for you guys. "To my family from Denver, you came as angels, you leave as heroes. You left sweat in the cement, but you left gold in my life. The 5x4 room is not just a room. It's proof that love does build. It does heal. It is enough. I promise to honor you by being happy within these walls. My palm tree will carry a ribbon with your names, and my heart will carry all of you. Thank you for giving me a roof when my soul felt the coldest. Thank you. For the hands that mix the cement and hope, for the sunny days that you endured for us, for teaching me that family is chosen and built. The room is called Rincon Denver because a piece of you lives here, and I promise to fill it with life and laughter and with peace. Because of you, I will always be happy with eternal love."
Good morning. My name's Kearney Torline. In Mexico, we did something called house visits. House visits are part of YWAM's outreach, so they can get to know the families and the community. They visit families once a month, and we were blessed enough to be a part of that. We bought groceries for 4 families. The family my group went to was a mom and her 3 little girls. When we first arrived at the house, we thought we were prepared for what we were going to see. However, once we walked through those gates, we realized that no amount of preparation could truly prepare us for what we were going to see. The family immediately welcomed us into their home. They were quick to offer us juice and show us around. As we looked around, it was difficult to process that this was their everyday reality. Many of the homes we visited were very small and lacked things that many of us consider basic necessities. Most of the houses that we visited had unfinished walls, dirt floors, leaking roofs, one-roomed homes where they all shared a bed, and some houses had half-covered roofs and their kitchens were outside because there was no room in the house. The families lived without many of the basic comforts that we often take for granted. Yet despite having so little, their homes were filled with love and generosity. This really put a perspective on my life. It made me realize that things that I thought were hard maybe weren't so bad. It made me realize that many of the things I complain about are actually blessings. And I think that these families taught us that love is a foundation in our everyday lives. It was hard to see what the families had to wake up and go to sleep in every day and night. But it was inspiring to see how much they loved each other and how quick they were to let people in and serve others. It was crazy to me how people with so little were so quick to make us juice and popsicles, how a family with barely a roof over their heads and barely enough for themselves were finding little things they could give us, like bracelets and plastic flowers, and how quickly the children welcomed us. Even though we spoke different languages, we were still able to laugh, play, and connect with one another. As we spent time with the family, I realized that we weren't there to just give them groceries. We were there to build relationships, listen to their stories, and show them that they were seen and loved. Sometimes the most important thing that we could offer wasn't what was in the grocery bags. It was our time and our presence. Through this experience, God reminded me to be grateful for what I have, to serve others with a generous heart, and a reminder that true wealth is not found in possessions, but in love, faith, and community. Before this trip, I often focused on the things I wished I had or the problems I was dealing with. But meeting these families reminded me of how blessed I am and how much I have to be thankful for. It challenged me to look at my own life differently and to trust God more, even when things didn't go the way I planned. I also learned that the missions aren't just about changing someone else's life. They change your life, too. I went to Mexico hoping to serve others, but I came home feeling like I was the one who had been blessed. The people we met taught me lessons about gratitude, faith, generosity, and joy, and that I will carry with me for a long time. One of the hardest parts of this trip wasn't going to Mexico, it was coming home. It was difficult to leave these families knowing that we could get on a plane and return to the comfort of our homes while they would wake up the next day in the same circumstances. It felt unfair. When I came home, I struggled with that. I kept thinking of the families we met and the children we played with and the homes we visited. I felt guilty enjoying the things that I had taken for granted. At times, I even felt helpless, wondering if anything we did even made a difference. But as I reflected on the trip, I realized God wasn't asking me to solve every problem or fix every hardship. He was asking me to love people, serve them, and trust him with the rest. God hasn't forgot about them. Galatians 5:13 says, "Serve one another humbly in love." Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Livia Blondo. I've been on a few missions by now, and I think that anyone who has been on a mission can agree that life during that week is very different. You wake up each morning with a kind of drive and energy you can't seem to find anywhere else, and God feels impossibly close. The days are filled with sweat, hard work, in our case, a lot of concrete, and you wouldn't trade it for anything in this world. You will meet people whose stories will make your heart hurt, all while filling you with inspiration to last a lifetime. You form a special kind of bond with the team you go with and anyone you may cross paths with, the kind of bond you can only form through God. And then the week ends. This is when I always realize that no one really tells you what comes after a mission. We all go home exhausted and filled with memories. One day goes by, then two, and by the end of the week, all of the magic seems to have faded. You go back into your old routines and habits, all of those promises you made yourself that you swore you were going to change fading into the background. Does this sound familiar to anyone? It sure does to me. Mission after mission, I find myself falling into this trap of coming home to an overwhelming sense of purposeless. It's never sat quite right with me. What have I been doing wrong? God gave me an answer through one of our devotions during that week. It talked about how the mission doesn't end when you go home. It revealed to me that we can treat the very streets of Salida as the base of our mission, embracing discomfort and sacrifice in our daily lives, surrendering all of the control to God. Isaiah 6:8 says, "Here I am, send me." This trip has shown me where I've gotten it all wrong. I finally realized it when Jim said one night, "Don't wait for the phone to ring. Each day God has a plan for me. While it may not feel as big as some of the steps we take on the missions together, each and every day counts in our walk with God. It's up to me, it's up to you, to take the next step. So where will we go?" Thank you.
So, these are some awesome kids. God's moving. Liv, I intentionally wanted her to talk just before me because I saw what she was going to say, and I'm like, wow, that is super powerful. And so we got back Sunday. Monday was awesome. You're filled, you're overflowing with the love of God. And Monday was great. It was great to be out of humidity. It was great to be in a cool weather. And again, my to-do list was not crazy. And then Tuesday came, and like, man, everything was just hitting, and I could feel, you know, the cup getting poured out. And just kind of mad again, like, man, I want to keep the joy. And I'm in a meeting, and I get a text from Lila. "Hey, Jim, do you have a second?" And I'm like, I wish I did. And but before I could answer her, She texts me and says, just a second ago, I was praying. That's awesome. Just a second ago, I was praying and I just broke down and something clicked inside of me. I realized I wasn't loving others to my full ability and I didn't love God or myself correctly. I just surrendered my life fully to Jesus. Yeah. And then she said, I was wondering if it would be possible for you to baptize me. And I'm like, yes, for sure. And again, we were privileged that the house we built, Anna is the lady we got to baptize, and Carlos was her brother. And baptism is so beautiful. And again, it shows God's wisdom, right? It's water. How simple is water? But how we talked about the symbol of being in sin, right? And being like Christ, and how we are buried with Jesus into the water, right? And we come up forgiven and free and promised eternal life, right? And we talked about that. And man, it is so exciting because it's a symbolic thing, right, of what is going on inside of Lila's heart. She's like, man, I want new life. I believe that Jesus has forgiven my sins. So why do you want to be baptized? I'm saying things she's probably going to say.
Ever since I was a child, I've read the Bible, prayed to God, and learned about faith through my family. But after this mission trip, I realized that my relationship with Jesus could not grow through my family's faith alone. It had to become my own. While serving and helping children and watching others pursue Jesus and give their lives to Him, I was inspired to do the same. So today, I want to publicly share that I have surrendered my life to Jesus on my own and that I love Him with all my heart.
That's awesome. So I just have a couple quick questions. Lila, are you trusting Jesus alone for the forgiveness of all of your sins and for eternal life?
Yes.
Do you renounce Satan and all of his works and his ways?
Yes.
Do you commit to following the teachings and the commands of Jesus for the rest of your life with the help of the Holy Spirit?
Yes.
Do you think we should baptize her?
Yeah,
let's do this. Should take off electronic.
You guys can clap or do something. This is exciting. Lila, it is my great pleasure and joy to get to baptize you because of the profession of your faith. And I'm going to baptize you in the likeness of Jesus Christ. Put your hand. I'm going to baptize you in the likeness of Jesus' death, his burial, and his resurrection. Worship team, come on up. Hey, we're going to pray for Lila and the students. If you would like to come and pray, we're going to do that right now. Let's pray together.
Father, man, thank you. What a gift you've provided to all of us today. Man, we pray for Lila. She's a wise young lady. She knows you, and she's learning more and more about your plan. And she has decided she wants to honor you with all of her life. What wisdom, deep wisdom. So we do ask that you would guide her, that you would continue to bring her to her knees in prayer. She continues to share with me her times of prayer, and I'm so encouraged that she's seeking your face. So we ask as a church family that she would be blessed, that you would bring good friends into her life that can love and encourage her. Man, we ask that she would continue to be transformed into the woman that you want her to be. Father, I'm so proud of this mission team. So grateful. They were just all in. Yeah, they just really were desiring you, wanted to hear from you, and wanted to do whatever you wanted them to do. And I pray that that would be all of us, that we would be humbly wanting to know what you want us to do and give us that eager wisdom to do what you're calling us to do. Thank you, Jesus, for all the gifts you have given, but this is a special moment in time. And I do pray that it would be just a moment where we get to, again, to experience you and to realize that going deeper with you is where you find peace and purpose that we won't find anywhere else on this planet. So we do ask that you would bless us, that you would open our eyes and our hearts for what you would have for us. We humbly want to be transformed to the people you want us to be. And I do pray that you would help us to love others well. Open our eyes to the opportunities where we can love and serve others well, and give us the courage and the wisdom to do that. Again, I just thank you for this morning. We ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
You can be seated. Boy, I don't know about you, but there's a lot going through my mind right now based on what we've heard and what we've sung, not least of which is the words that just came out of your mouths. You just made missional commitments. Sometimes I think we forget that when we're singing things. It's important. You made commitments. You asked God to lead you in his love to those around you. You said you'll build your life on his love. You made commitments to God, just like Jesus did. It might sound a little cheeky and a little corny, but isn't Jesus the one who actually embarked on the most pivotal short-term mission trip in the history of the world? 33 or so years of his life to come and do exactly what Jim has been talking to us about this morning, to show us something of God. I love that. I love that focus, brother. Like, what am I going to know about God? What can I learn of God? What are the things that we're going to key in on? This table isn't disconnected. This table isn't an add-on. It's not simply some little ritual that we do. This table is displaying another one of those characteristics and truths about who God is. Namely, I was listening to this song on the way in this morning. I had this idea for what this time was going to be, and he was like, nope. Here's what it's going to be. And I listened to this song called A Forgiving God. And that's who he is. And it was a song about Luke 15. And I want to take you there just briefly before we celebrate this meal together. Because it's all about what this meal is about. It's all about a meal and a celebration that's happening. You know this story that Jesus told, if you've been in church for any length of time, this story that he told of the two. Actually, it's not the parable of the lost son, right? It's a parable of two lost sons. that represent probably every person in this room. You can find yourself in one of these sons, or sometimes, honestly, swinging between them. You know about the son who really, in essence, wanted his dad to die. Like, I wish I could just have the inheritance. I want the money now. I wish you were dead so I could have all of the stuff that you've promised to give me when you die. And so his father has to disperse himself of some of his wealth and to give that inheritance to the younger son. And he goes off and he just spends it living just this riotous life far from God, filled with sin and debauchery and just horrible things. And he comes to his senses. We're going to talk about the other kind of son in just a second. But he comes to his senses and he says, I'm going to get up and go to my father. I'm going to say to him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Some of you feel that way here this morning. You did something this week. Maybe that emotion isn't there still right now, but you felt it this week. What have I done? How did I do this again? I just don't feel worthy to be called your son. So make me one, like one of your hired workers. So he gets up. He goes to his father. But while the son was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion, and he ran and threw his arms around his neck and kissed him. And the son is just like, I got my deal, I gotta say. I got a speech here. Father, I've sinned against heaven in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father cuts him off and says, quick, bring out the best robe and put it on him and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet and bring the fattened calf and slaughter it and let's celebrate with a feast because of this son of mine who was dead and now is alive. He was lost and has now been found. And what do you see there? You see a forgiving God, a forgiving God. And then you got that old self-righteous brother. So over on the side, here's the raucous celebration, like so loud, this celebration. Can hear it out in the field. And he's just ticked, just ticked. I'm not going into that feast. I'm not celebrating. I see what he did. How dare he get a party? And what does the father do? The father's just as brokenhearted for his self-righteous son as he was for his sinful son. And he goes out and says, please, please, come into the feast. Come into the celebration of my forgiveness. Your brother was lost, and now he's found. And he refuses. He refuses to go in the feast. With a little lesson from Jesus, they're saying, boy, sometimes it's so much harder for a self-righteous person who thinks they got all their stuff together to come into the kingdom of God than it is for a sinner who's so aware of their sin to see and taste of the forgiveness of God. And I love this song that I was listening to this morning, because the chorus says, he's been sitting on the porch awaiting your arrival. You've never left his heart. He's always thinking of you. He'll come running out to meet you and throw his arms around you. He's a forgiving God. Wow, isn't that awesome? Like, that's who he is. No matter how many times we stray, how many times we sin, even as Christians, Satan's coming after Lila, right? In this baptismal moment. And she's going to sin again. And what's going to give her peace? What's going to give you peace? That he's awaiting on a porch. And he's awaiting your arrival. So the song goes on to say, don't stay alone. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. Don't be isolated in your sin. Run. That's what this table is about. This is you running to Jesus, coming, getting elements, right? Paul says, don't drink unworthily. That's what the son, I'm no longer worthy. He said, don't drink unworthily, but just run to him. Lay your burdens down, and he'll just wash you with his blood and forgive you and cleanse you from all of your sin and all of your unrighteousness. This is a feast. This is a celebration pointing to another celebration to come. This is joy. We've seen one sacrament already that represents that. Now we get to partake in another. Isn't that awesome? Aren't you glad you're here? What a Sunday. What a Sunday this has been. So, servers, would you come up? And would you come now? Come. Don't be alone. He's been waiting for you. He's been thinking about you all week. Run to Jesus.